Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar with our Gemara marking system, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find 9 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Beis. The Mishnah. Shnei Achim Nisuin Shtei Achoyos. We have a little diagram on the side, a very simple case. You have Reuven and Shimon are married to Leah and Rochel, respectively. So you have two brothers that are married to two sisters. Umeis Echod Mehen. And then Reuven dies. One of the brothers dies, and the little one in our diagram indicates the sequence of events. So Reuven dies. Ve'achar kach. Now, let's point out, at the point that Reuven dies, leaving, of course, no children, Leah cannot marry Shimon. And why is that? Because Leah is the sister of Shimon's wife, and a man is not allowed to marry his wife's sister. So Shimon cannot do Yibum with Leah at that point. What happens? The Achar Kach, the Mishnah goes on to say, and then Meso Ishto Shelsheni, then Rochel dies. So after Reuven dies, and we establish that at that moment Shimon could not do Yibum with Leah, but Rochel dies. Now, you would say the problem is no longer there. So could Shimon at this point do Yibum with Leah? After all, Shimon's wife is deceased. Shimon also left no children, so maybe he can do Yibum with Leah. The Mishnah says no. Hare zu asura lo v'olamis. Leah remains forbidden to Shimon forever. Hayol v'nesra lov sho'achas. Since there was a moment that she was asura, essentially the first moment of her widowhood, when Reuven died, at that moment she was forbidden to Shimon. So being that she was forbidden to Shimon, she is labeled an Eshes Ochiv, the wife of one's brother, which in general, if a brother dies leaving children, then the brother's wife is permanently Asura. Sister-in-law cannot marry a brother-in-law. It's only in the case of Yibum that we find an exception, and that's because there were no children. However, if you have a situation that the mitzvah of Yibum cannot be done immediately upon her becoming a widow, so she is labeled as a simple case of sister-in-law, which is, generally speaking, a forbidden relationship, an erva. The Gemara, commenting on this Mishnah, says, Pshita, our Mishnah seems to be stating the obvious. We go back to Daf Lamed Omid Beis. There was a Mishnah that featured 3 brothers. We have a little chart that is on the side of the Gemara where it accompanies a Rashi a few lines down from here, but the chart applies to this piece of Gemara as well. There are 3 brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. This is a Gemara that we learned earlier. In our previous Shiurim, Daf Lamed Omid Beis, 3 brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, they are married. The first two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, are married to 2 sisters, Leah and Rachel. And the 3rd brother is married to an outsider, to an Isha. Now, you'll notice that in the sequence of events there, Reuven dies. Now, at the point that Reuven dies, Leah, who is the widow, she cannot marry Shimon because Shimon is at that point still married to her sister. However, Leah is able to marry Levi. So in that case, what happens when Levi eventually dies? Can Leah do Yibum with Shimon, even though Rachel has already died? The answer we said over there is no. Leah remains permanently forbidden to Shimon, because at the point she became a widow, Shimon could not have married her. However, that Mishnah has a bigger chiddush in it. And let's continue reading in the Gemara. Uma hosam, mind you, over there, regarding the case we just saw in the diagram with the three brothers, the lomidche, mahai, besa, legamri, where Leah was not cast out of that family altogether, because when she became a widow initially, she could have done yibum with one of those brothers, with Levi. So she wasn't pushed out, mitcha is to be pushed out. She wasn't pushed out of that household altogether. Amris lo, and yet we say, when the eventuality arises where Leah becomes a widow again, and Shimon is without wife because his wife died, still there, we said Shimon cannot marry Leah. Hacha, in our case here, which is more obvious, the kamitcha mehai besa legamri lo kol shekein, where she became a widow, where Leah became a widow, her initial widowhood represented her being cast out of the household altogether. Because in our case, there was only two brothers to begin with. There weren't three brothers to begin with. So she was cast out of the house altogether. Certainly, then, when Rachel dies, Leah is not going to be eligible for Yibum. So once we have the Mishnah back on Lamed Amud Beis, that Leah is described as ultimately being forbidden to Shimon, in our Mishnah, certainly Leah is going to be forbidden to Shimon. So Mor says, you are right, that this Mishnah is really, would appear to be extraneous. However, Tana, Ha Tana Bereisha, the Tana who was responsible for stating the Mishnayos, he learned this Mishnah first. This Mishnah of the two brothers, in terms of chronological, the chronology of the Mishnah teaching, this Mishnah preceded chronologically the Mishnah that is printed on an earlier daf, on daf Lamed Beis. In terms of the order of Mishnayos, historically or chronologically, this Mishnah is first. V'hach chazio lehetero v'sharya, and the case of the three brothers was initially perceived by the Tana as being muter, and he would have allowed the marriage, the ultimate or marriage of Leah to Shimon, because of the consideration we just said, where Leah wasn't really cast out of the family to begin with. The Hodar Chazio Lisura, but as time went on, the Tana felt that even the case of the three brothers is forbidden, being because of this, the consideration that at the time that she became a widow, initially, at that time she was not fit to Shimon, even though she wasn't cast out of the family. V'aydi d'chaviv olei, and since the Mishnah involving the three brothers is a bigger chiddush, it's more novel in its halachic ruling, because of that, it creates a certain fondness in the eyes of the Mishnayos editors. Akdimo, it was placed earlier, was given preeminence. So it was taught before. So the less obvious Mishnah was taught before the more obvious Mishnah. U'mishnah lo zozo mimukomo. And our Mishnah, which speaks about the more obvious case, is not uprooted. It's not moved out of its place. It remains where it is. And just to repeat, the other Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, which is more novel, was placed ahead of this Mishnah. In other words, this Mishnah is where it belongs, and the other piece of information, which is more novel, was placed ahead of this. So if you look at the order of Mishnahs, it would appear that this is redundant. However, the Gemara just reported, explained historically what had taken place. We continue. But before we continue in the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, Nosei Klali, a general topic heading. And this is a very long topic, unfortunately, in the context of a Daf Yomi learning schedule, so we won't be able to cover the entire topic today in this particular shiur. It will take a couple of shiurim to cover the topic. And we label it as that Iser Chal al Iser. We should note that it lasts, as we say, as you can see, we've written till Daf Lamed Dalid. Until Daf Lamed Dalid, Amud Aleph, more specifically. The topic involves Iser Chal al Iser. Once something is rendered prohibited, so it has a label of Iser, of prohibition. Whatever that prohibition may be, it's assigned a particular name of something prohibited. Can an additional label of an additional prohibition be superimposed on something that's already usser? Now, for many of you, that might sound a bit abstract, and there's nothing like actual cases, examples to help illustrate that. So we will see, the Gemara will be focusing on two Isurim. One Isur is called Eshes Ach, a sister-in-law, brother-in-law marrying. And another Isur is Achos Isha, one's wife's sister. The Gemara will deal with order of events. We'll be speaking about Reuven and Shimon. One will be described as the living one, and one will be described as the dead one. Make no mistake, we're not talking about a dead man getting married, but when we say the dead one, we're referring to the brother that eventually will die, and the living one is the one that survives him. And of course, we're dealing with there are no children, hence we're going to be speaking in terms of the attempt at Yibum. However, we will see that cannot be done. We'll see, of course, more details as we go into the Gemara. However, just to illustrate matters, Nosa Chai, we'll talk about Reuven and Shimon, and Shimon will be the surviving brother. So if Shimon marries a woman, and that woman happens to have a sister, so when Shimon marries, and we'll say that Shimon marries Rachel, at that point, her sister is forbidden to Shimon on the grounds of Achos Isha. So Leah to Shimon is forbidden. She's an Achos Isha. V'achakach nosa meis. And then afterwards, Reuven, who will die eventually, he will not outlive Shimon, then Reuven marries Leah. Now, Leah, we said, was already usser on the grounds of being Shimon's wife's sister. That's called Achos Isha. With Shimon's brother marrying the woman, she becomes Eshes Ach. And as long as Reuven is alive, so she's married to Shimon's brother. She's a wife of your brother. So she's not only your sister, your wife's sister, she's your brother's wife. Wife's sister is called Achos Isha. Brother's wife is called Eshes Ach. Those are two separate prohibitions. Let us say that Shimon went ahead, after Reuven married Leah, Shimon went ahead and had intimacy with Leah. How many violations has he violated? And there are halachic ramifications for one violation versus two violations, as we'll see in the Gemara. But we can speak in a general fashion right now. Simply, how many violations is he considered to having violated? If you say Ein Isur Chalal Isur, that you would be saying then in that story, Leah initially was Shimon's wife's sister. That's called Achos Isha. That's it. Whatever other labels might be superimposed on her don't stick. They don't have any relevance because Ein Isur Chal Al Isur. That which is already prohibited cannot become more prohibited with additional labels. However, if you say Isur Chal Al Isur, in the event that Shimon has intimacy with Leah, after Leah's already married to Reuven, Shimon's brother, there would be two violations. And v'chein ha'hefech, the opposite is also going to be analyzed. Let us say that you have, again, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven marries Leah. Shimon is a single man. At that point, Shimon is forbidden to his brother's wife because of what we call eshes ach, brother's wife. That's a type of erva, forbidden relation. Afterwards, Shimon marries Rachel. Rachel happens to be the sister of Leah. Now that Shimon is married to Rachel, what happens if Shimon would have relations, intimacy with Leah? We said she started off as being prohibited on the grounds of eshes ach, a specific label, an erva, eshes ach. After Shimon's marriage to Rachel, do we view Leah, halachically speaking, as wife's sister, as achos isha, or do we say no? Once she becomes prohibited as eshes ach, that's it. Additional labels, even though genealogically speaking, they might be accurate, they might be true, halachically speaking, once someone is prohibited, once something is prohibited, a second label cannot be superimposed. That again would be in line of the theory that Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. If, however, you say Iser Chal Al Iser, so then, in that case as well, there would be two labels of prohibition on Leah vis-a-vis Shimon. So now, when you hear the term Iser Chal Al Iser, you understand, you have a concrete example of what that would entail. We now look at the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Bo oleo chayv oleo mishum eshes ach umishum achos isha, divrei Rabbi Yossi. Now the opening of this source is quite vague. We don't know who it is, but from the violations you can begin to decipher what happened. So we'll make it a little more concrete. And using the examples we already presented, Shimon, the husband of Rachel, that Shimon has relations with Leah. Leah being the sister of Rachel. The source, and it's particularly Rabbi Yossi, says he's chayav, he is in violation of Mishum Eshes Ach. He has violated that prohibition. Umishum Achos Isha. Now, if we're going to work with the assumption that there are no children, you might ask, why should he be in violation of Eshes Ach? Isn't that what Yibum is all about? So the answer to that is that since she also, Leah, happens to be Achos Isha, the sister of Shimon's wife, he cannot marry her because of that. She's his wife's sister. Leah is Shimon's wife's sister. So because on those grounds Yibum cannot be fulfilled, so the other aspect of Leah vis-a-vis Shimon remains in place, namely Shimon's brother's wife. So that's Rabbi Yossi's approach, that if Shimon has relations with Leah, the sister of Shimon's wife, there are two violations. Eshes Ach, Leah was the wife of Reuven, Shimon's brother, and Mishum Achos Isha. Leah is Rachel's sister, Rachel being Shimon's wife, so it's Shimon's wife's sister. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Chayov Elo Mishum Eshes Ach Bilvad. Rabbi Shimon is, we'll say, more lenient. He reduces the number of violations. So that remembering that point will be quite helpful in later Dapim, when the names Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon will reappear. So Rabbi Shimon is more, let's say, minimal in numbers of violations. The Gemara asks a specific question regarding Rav Shimon v'Hatanya. Do we not have a Tanaic source that says Rav Shimon Omer Eino Chayv Elo Mishum Achos Isha Bilvad? Rav Shimon says that the Leah in our example will result in a violation of only Achos Isha. So we see this source says only Achos Isha, and the source just before says the only problem with Leah regarding the surviving brother was that she is labeled Eishes Ach. The Gemara says Lo Kashia. There is no contradiction between these sources. Kan Shenoso Chai V'Achakach Noso Meis. Kan Shenoso Meis V'Achakach Noso Chai. It all depends in the order of events. The second source, which said that the only violation when Shimon has intimacy with Leah is Achos Isha, it's because Shimon married Rochel first. At that point, Leah, who was a single woman, at that point Leah is forbidden on the grounds of Achos Isha. So that's what the second source was talking about. Then the order being the determining factor. Shimon married first, so his wife's sister is usher as Achos Isha. Kan, the first source, the Aleph source, Shenoso Meis V'Achenoso Chai. That means Reuven married Leah, and at that point Shimon was not yet married. So when Reuven married Leah, she became labeled Eishes Ach. Afterwards, Shimon marries her sister, Rachel, but the initial label is that which sticks. So when you look at Shitas Reb Shimon, you can see already the approach of, it would appear that he holds, it would appear. Again, a lot of these things will be defined in greater detail, with greater accuracy, later in the Gemara, but it would appear he holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser. The Gemara continues, Reb Shimon, who holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser, Hecha Denosa Meis, V'achakach noso chai, where Reuven married first. And vis-a-vis Shimon, what does that do? That establishes Leah, Reuven's wife, as an Eishes Ach. So where Reuven married first, Kevon de'isur achos isha lo chayel, since that label doesn't take hold, Tisyabem mivyivumi, when Reuven dies, why shouldn't Shimon, even though he in the interim married Rachel, why shouldn't Shimon be able to do Yibum? What is Yibum? Yibum is the marriage of a surviving brother when his brother died, leaving no children. So Reuven died, leaving a widow, Leah, but no children. So why shouldn't Shimon be able to do Yibum? And yet we're saying that if Shimon were to marry Leah, he'd be in violation of an erev of Eishes Ach. Why should that be? There is no seeming other problem to prevent the Yibum. After all, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, and once Leah is labeled as Eishes Ach, who cares that later on Shimon married her sister? Achos Isha shouldn't play a role. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi explains, Isur e achos isha mitlo tali v'koi. When we say ein isur chalal isur, that the second isur does not take hold or is not superimposed on a first, on something that was already usur, it doesn't mean that the second isur doesn't exist. It means it lies in suspense. That's mitla toli v'koi. It's hanging in the balance. It's hanging, it's suspended. Ipoka isur eishes ach, if the prohibition of eishes ach were to be removed, which would be true in the case of Reuven's dying, leaving no children, that nevertheless would then leave room for the second iser to kick in. Asi iser achos isha v'chayil. The second isur then kicks in, sets in, and the hilkoch lo poka. And as a result of that, the prohibition of eshes ach doesn't go away. Or we can say more accurately, it never went away. Let us look at this idea by studying the Rashi together. Rashi that we're looking at is in the lower part of the page, in the second half of the wide line section. Mitlotoli, diavi poka iser eshesach. If the prohibition of eshesach would go away, havechayol iser achos isha. That second prohibition of her Leah being Rachel's sister, hence it's Shimon's wife's sister, is then going to take effect. The Haidulochame Kora, that which it didn't take effect initially, Mishum Taimo de Isur Eshesach, Davikoi Kame. That is because the prohibition of Eshesach was standing in front of it. Hilkechel the Isur Achosisha Muchan the Oimeid Lochul Allah. Since the prohibition of wife's sister is there to take hold, Ptura Minayibum. There remains an exemption from Yibum, and as a result of that, the original Isser actually does not disappear. And Eshesach remains the prohibition. It was the first one to take hold. The Gemara now raises a question. You'll note that this is a question that takes you down to the bottom line. And before we begin this, we look at the side of the Gemara under our Noseya topic heading, Biur Shitas Rabbi Yossi. We're going to be focusing, analyzing the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Yi Sover Iser Chal Al Iser. Does he hold this idea of a second Iser being superimposed on a first prohibition? Up till now, if you look at the reference above, you can maybe use your arrows on the right hand side of the text to maneuver. Rabbi Yossi was reported above as saying, Isser Chal al Isser. The Gemara asks, Vesav Rabbi Yossi Isser Chal al Isser. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that point? That's what he indicated before when he said, Chayav Shtayim, that he's Chayav for both offenses. But how can you have that according to Rabbi Yossi? For Tanya, we have another source. Avar Averos Sheyesh Bo Shtei Misos. A person violated an offense, a sin that involves two capital offenses. For example, one had intimacy with his mother-in-law, who happened to be a married woman. So she's prohibited. She's an erva of Chamoso, and she's an erva of Eishes Ish. And we should note, these are both capital offenses. However, the nature of the penalty is different. Chamoso, mother-in-law, carries with it a penalty known as sreifa, literally burning. The person is executed through molten lead being put into his innards, into his throat, and it burns up his innards. That's the misa of chamoso. Eishes Ish, having relations with a woman married to another man, that carries with it a different penalty of chenek. In the scheme of penalties, there are those that are considered more severe and those that are considered less severe, even though they all end up dead, but nevertheless there is a hierarchy. And in that context, we note that sreifa, which is associated with chamoso, is considered a more serious type offense. So a person who did an avera, intimacy in this case, with a woman that had two labels on her, it says in this source, nidon b'chamura. He will be executed with a more severe punishment, and therefore we would be saying he's being punished for chamosa, which carries with it the sreifa penalty. Rabbi Yossi Omer, nidon b'zika harishona haba olav. Rabbi Yossi says, and we're focusing on his sheet, that's why we have his name dashed underlined, he says that a person is to be punished with the first offense that came upon him. V'tanya, ketzad om Rabbi Yossi nidan bezika harishan abolav. Illustrate that. What do you mean that a person is punished as a result of the first offense that came upon him? So the Brisa gives us examples. Chamoso v'nasis eishas isha. Person, let us say, we have a man that married the daughter of a widow. And so at that point, his wife's mother, it's called chamoso, his mother-in-law. What would the avera of the offense be if he has relations with her? So he's considered violating the isser of chamoisai. She was, as we said, the woman was a widow. However, our son-in-law, in our case here, he didn't have relations with her while she was still a widow, but in the course of time, she remarried. And after she remarried, the son-in-law then has relations with his mother-in-law. That's chamoso v'nasis eishes ish. Regarding that, Rabbi Yossi says, Zika Rishona, the first relation, the first description of the son-in-law, mother-in-law relationship there is called chamoso. She was a widow at the time. Another situation, eishes ish v'nasis chamoso, let us say you married the daughter of a married woman. So at the point that married woman became your mother-in-law, prior to that she was a woman married to a man who is alive. So she's called an Ashes Ish. Afterwards you married her daughter, but the mother-in-law is still happily married. She now becomes that woman becomes your mother-in-law. What is the penalty or the avera nidon? He's judged be'eshes ish. He's judged for having violated the penalty of eshes ish. That was the first relationship, the first connection that our subject had with that woman. She started off being an eshes ish, and later on, you married her daughter, and at that point you had intimacy with your wife's mother. Nevertheless, since your first connection with her was as her, the mother-in-law's being an Ashes Ish, a married woman before you married her daughter, her husband is alive throughout this particular story, so you're judged on the grounds of having violated Ashes Ish, even though that carries with it a lesser type penalty. So what do we see from this? That one is going to receive the lesser type penalty. It shows us then that the Isser of Chamoso does not take hold. It's not superimposed on the violation of Ashes Ish. If it were superimposed, so then we would give him the more serious type execution. So at this point, what do we see? We see very simply, Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. As far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, a second type offense cannot be superimposed on a pre-existing Isur. So that brings into question that which we mentioned earlier, that Rabbi Yossi says one who has relations with, it's the case of two brothers that marry two sisters, and the brother has relations with his sister-in-law, there are two offenses. But in order to come to that conclusion, to say there are two offenses, you'd have to say Isser Chal Al Isser. And here we see that Rabbi Yossi does not hold by that. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. We should take note of the structure. On the side we have a Mivneh, a structural note. A triangle appears, and they appear. Another one appears later. These are Tshuvos, responses, Be'inyan, Isov Rabbi Yossi Isser Chal Al Isser. Does Rabbi Yossi hold of that principle or not? The Gemara, Omar Rabbi Avohu, Moide Rabbi Yossi, Be Isser Moisef. True, we established that Rabbi Yossi does not hold that from Isser Chal Al Isser automatically. However, in the case of Isser Moisif, he will agree that Isser Chal al Isser. This is the first time we're seeing this expression, Isser Moisif. Be aware that in the course of the Gemara, as we continue, we will be seeing several expressions, each one of which needs to be defined. There's an Isser Moisif, there's another situation called Isser Koileo, and a third situation called Isser Bas Achas. What do we mean by Isser Moisif? So, we take a look at the Rashi. He will introduce that which the Gemara says, and when we get back to the Gemara, so we'll understand it better by first learning the Rashi. Rashi at the top, Om Rabbi Avo, Moide Rabbi Yossi B'Isser Moisif, that one, that is, Rabbi Yossi, who originally said he's Chayev for Isser, for the Isser of Eishes Ach, and Achois Isha, that will be true if it's in the Moisif fashion. Moisif means additional. Shehu Chal al Isser. That in the case of Isser Moisif, the second Isser can be superimposed, attached to that which was already forbidden. Kegoin. Isser Eishes Ach, the prohibition of Eishes Ach, the Moisif Hu. It is considered Moisif. How is that? Shebetchilo kishenoso ze es achoiso vizu penuyo nesro lov mishum achos isha umuteris lechol echov. So we'll use the example we've been using till now. When Shimon married Rachel, so Leah was at that point in time Pnuya. She was a single woman. Leah to Shimon at that point was simply Shimon's wife's sister, Achos Isha. Leah herself was Osir only to Shimon, but she, Leah herself, was Mutter to Shimon's brothers. Niseis Le'echod Mehen, upon the marriage of Leah to one of Shimon's brothers, Nesra al kulon mishum eishes ach. She becomes forbidden not only to Shimon, she becomes forbidden to the other brothers as well. Because when she chooses one of the brothers, let us say that Leah marries Reuven. But in that family, besides Reuven and Shimon, there's Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun as well. A lot of other brothers. So upon Leah's marriage to Reuven, she becomes Osir, now a new Isser, to Levi, to Yehuda, to Yisachar. She is Eishes Ach, she is their brother's wife. Now, with her becoming, we'll say, more Osir. She was originally Osir to just Shimon, because Leah's sister was married to Shimon. She becomes more Osir. V'achshav nisvasiv isur oleha legabi shar echov. And now, with Leah's marriage to Reuven, she becomes usur to the other brothers. Umigu dechayil shem eishes ach ala legabi shar echov shoysu muteris lahem. The word umigu is a short word, but it's very meaningful. It means, and since the isur, the prohibition of Eishes Ach sets upon Leah regarding the other brothers that she had up till now been mutter to them, Chal Nami Hashem Hazeh Legabi Didei. This label of Eishes Ach has a chance to attach itself to Shimon as well. V'yafal Gavda Asira Alei V'kaimo. Even though Leah was already Asura, forbidden to Shimon, because of what we said was Achos Isha. But now, since Leah is becoming more Asura, another layer of prohibition is attaching itself to Leah, that will affect Shimon as well. Avol, Eishes Ish Venasis Chamoisoi. Another situation where there was a married woman. We'll call her Mrs. X. And Mrs. X happened to have a daughter. And you saw Mrs. X. Mitchila hoisa asura l'chol olam mishum eishes ish. Before you married the daughter of Mrs. X, that woman, she was a married woman with a daughter, she was usher to everybody, already completely usher to everybody as a married woman. Nosa ze es bita, when you marry her daughter, Mrs. X's daughter, ein isur ze roi lahoisif olao imachirim. The fact that you married her daughter, that has no ramifications toward the rest of the world with regard to others. They, the rest of the world, were already usher to Mrs. X. She was married to her husband. She is a married woman. She's usher to everyone else already. So the fact that you married her daughter, that isser doesn't have any effect regarding Mrs. X and the rest of the world. Denema, that we would have been able to say, Migu dechayel alayhu, since some new isser sets upon the rest of the people with regard to Mrs. X, lechol nami olei dehai. That new isser should then set upon this man now as well. Dechamoisoi v'nasis eishes ish. However, if you look at things in the opposite direction, where there was a widow that happened to have a daughter. You married her daughter. So the widow became your mother-in-law. And then your mother-in-law married a new husband. Ha vadai iser moisif hu. That would clearly be a case of iser moisif. How is that? Shemitchila asura lozeh umutaros l'chol ha'olam. At first, with regard to your association with that woman, your marriage to the widow's daughter made her your mother-in-law, but she was muteris to everyone else. She was a widow. Nasis eishes ish, upon your mother-in-law, the widow's marriage to a new husband, she becomes a married woman. Isfasiv hai shem alo legabi kuli alma. Your mother-in-law now becomes more usher with regard to the rest of the world. A new label sets upon her regarding the rest of the world. Umigu dechayel alayhu, and since that new label, namely Eishes Ish, sets upon the rest of the world vis-a-vis your mother-in-law, chayel nami legabi dehai. It has an effect also regarding the son-in-law. So that if the son-in-law would conduct intimacy with his mother-in-law, he would be guilty of two offenses, even according to Reb Yossi, because of Isser Mosif. She started out vis-a-vis the son-in-law as simply usher to him as mother-in-law. She was a widow, so she was usher to him only as mother-in-law. Upon her marriage to a second husband, the mother-in-law, that's the mother-in-law's marriage to a second husband, she becomes usher now to other people that she wasn't usher to till now. She was usher only to her son-in-law. But with her marriage to a husband, she becomes usher to other people as well. So since that takes place, since a new level of isser was attached to the mother-in-law herself, she becomes usher to her son-in-law as well as an eishes ish. V'hai dekomar Reb Yossi nidon b'chamoso, and that which Reb Yossi said that the judgment is for chamoso, and he didn't mention eishes ish. Of course, you're looking at the citation of Reb Yossi at the bottom of Lamed Beis Omid Aleph. He mentioned in, we'll call it a case A, Chamosa v'nasas eishes ish nidon b'chamosa, Rashi is pointing out, in that case, since it's an Isor Moisif, set three lines from the bottom of Omed Aleph, really the son-in-law would be guilty of two offenses. So why does the expression nidon b'chamosa appear in that source, which is in the singular, only one offense? The answer to that is a technical, simple answer. Mishum de b'misos askinan. The source is dealing with execution, court execution. V'yato yochola miso b'shnei misos. You can't kill a person twice. Hoyol ushtein olav. And since both penalties are upon him, yidon b'chamura. He's sentenced to the more severe one. Avol im hoyo shogeg hoyo chayav shtei chatois. If he would have been guilty of an inadvertent violation, then because it's shogeg, it doesn't carry with it, inadvertent does a violation does not carry with it an execution, but rather the necessity of bringing a sacrifice, he would in fact have to bring two sacrifices for the two separate offenses. So now with that in mind, When we go back to the story involving the Machlokas Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon regarding Eishes Ach and Achos Isha, the two offenses that were featured in the middle of Lamed Beis Omed Aleph, Rabbi Yosi said he is guilty of two offenses, we would have to be speaking about a case of Iser Moisif. And as we just illustrated at length in the Rashi, we begin to get a sense of how Iser Moisif works, where the person that was usser becomes more usser. So now let's continue with that in mind as we go through the Gemara at the top line, last word on line. Tenach, this explanation of Rabbi Yossi conceding in an Iser Moisif fashion, and hence Rabbi Yossi says you're chayav for the two offenses of Achos Isha and Eishes Ach, Heicha de noso chai v'achakach noso meis. Using the examples and we have that we used before, we have a little illustration on the side as well, a starred diagram, where Shimon, he is the brother that remains alive, where he married first. At that point, he married Rachel. Leah became usher to Shimon as Achos Isha. So the first Iser is, as we said, Achos Isha. And then when Reuven marries Leah, Leah was already Osir to Shimon. However, Leah now becomes Osir to Levi. So a new Iser that didn't exist upon Leah sets in now. And since, as the Gemara goes on to say, let's read this in the Gemara, Migudis Vasef Iser Legabi Achim, since regarding Leah, a new Iser sets upon her, and that is with regard to the other brothers of Shemoin, that's called Eishes Ach, Isvasef Iser Legabi Didei, that title of Eishes Ach can attach itself to Shimon as well, who was already Usur based on Usur to Leah as Achos Isha. So if the events flowed that way, Shimon married Rachel first, and at that point Leah became Usur to Shimon as an Achos Isha sister of wife, and then Reuven married Leah, and there are other brothers in this family. So Leah becomes usher to Shimon because as an Eishes Ach, because Leah herself is becoming usher to those that she was not usher to beforehand. We just described Iser Moisif. The Gemara goes on, Elohecha, de noso meis, v'achakach noso chai, my Iser Moisif Ika. Using the same illustration but changing the order of events, if Leah married And the first position, Leah marries Reuven. Shimon is a single man. With Leah's marriage to Reuven, she becomes usher to Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and all other brothers that are on the scene. So with Leah's marriage to Reuven, she becomes usher to Shimon with the label of Eshes Ach. Upon Shimon's marriage to Rachel, does Leah become usher to someone that she was muteris to till now? No. Leah is already usher to Shimon, as well as to Levi and any other brothers. So as a result of changing the order of events, where first Reuven first marries Leah, that's Nosam Mace. Why do we call him Mace is because in the sequence of events, eventually Reuven will die. But that will not enable Shimon to marry Leah. She is prohibited based on her being labeled Eshes Ach. And how did that Isser set in? Because when she married Reuven, Leah became usher to all the brothers as an Eshes Ach. The fact that Shimon later marries Rachel, that does not make Leah usher to anyone that she had been muteris to till that point. Hence the Gemara says, "My Isser Mosifika." What Isser Mosif is there in this order of events? The Chitema, you might try to explain and try to argue. Migu de Itzar Bekulu Achvisa. Once Leah once Shimon marries Rachel, after first Reuven had married Leah, and we said Leah became usher to all the brothers, Shimon then marries Rachel. Upon his marriage to Rachel, Shimon, he becomes usher to all the other sisters. There might be other sisters in that family. Leah, Rachel, Devorah, Sarah, Rivka, all kinds of other sisters might be there. So with Shimon's marriage to Rachel, Shimon becomes usher not only to Leah that was already usher to him, but Shimon becomes usher to all the other sisters. So, since Shimon is now, a new Isser is now setting in that wasn't there before, that new Isser of Achos Isha should be able to attach itself to Leah as well. The Gemara points out, though, that this is not an example of an Isser Moisif. Hi, Isser Kolelhu. This is a new term. This is an Isser Kolel. In other words, when we're focusing on Leah, who originally, first position, first order of events, Leah marries Reuven, at that point, Leah becomes usher to all of the brothers. The fact that Shimon marries Rachel, with that marriage, it doesn't make Leah more usher to anyone that she was usher to before. Someone else becomes more usher, if you will, but not Leah herself. The fact that we're trying to include Leah in Shimon's marriage to Rachel and create a new Isser, that's called Kolel. We're trying to include Leah in the fact that other people became usher, in this case, her sisters became usher to Shimon as Achos Isha, so Leah should also become usher. But vis-a-vis Leah herself, upon Shimon's marriage to Rachel, no new Isser was setting upon Leah herself. The new Isser was setting upon her sisters, and we were trying to include Leah in that. That is a different label. That's called Isser Kolel. And as far as we are concerned, we don't know Reb Yossi to accept that phenomenon as being responsible for a second Isser setting upon that which was already forbidden. So that to have Rav Yossi say, a person who has relations, we'll make it more specific, Shimon's, after Reuven and Shimon married Leah and Rachel, and Shimon has relations with Leah, that he is always in violation of Eishes Ach and Achos Isha, that's too broad a statement for us to make, because it works only in one direction, as we said before, where Shimon marries Rachel first. But if you change the order of events, then we don't see how Shimon, how Reb Yossi would acknowledge two offenses. Elo Omar Rava. Rava explains Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi, when he spoke about him violating Achos Isha and Eishes Ach back in the middle of Omer Aleph, it is not in practical and realistic terms. Really, Reb Yossi holds Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. And when he said that he's chayev for two offenses, Rava says, Ma'ale Ani Olof Ke'ilu Oso Shtayim V'Einu Chayov Elo Achas. It's viewed as if he violated two offenses, but in reality, he is in violation only of one. And as Reb Yossi explained, as we saw on Omer Aleph, the bottom, he would be in violation of the first label to be attached to him. So if we look in the Rashi, in the lower part of the narrow lines, the end of the narrow lines, Elo Marovel, the Oilom Lesa, the Reb Yossi Yisur Chalal Yisur, V'odah Kama Liel, Chayav Olem, Mishum Eishasach, Mishum Achos Isha, Lav B'shogeg, L'chayav Oshtei Chatois. In that case, he said, you're guilty of two offenses. It's not a case of an inadvertent relation, intimacy that Shimon had with Leah, which would have been subject, let's say, to two Chatos, because and therefore we can't talk about a second violation superimposed on a first violation, which would have resulted in two sin offerings. Elo bemezid, for the Elsus Rosha Gomu Lakovru Bain Rishoim Chamurim. The idea of viewing someone who in actuality is considered in violation only of one offense, but it's as if he had two offenses, the practical nafgamina, the legal ramification of that is with regard to where we will bury him. Shaharosha nikba etzel rishayim. Even amongst the wicked, there are different gradations, and a person who is severely wicked is buried in a separate section of the cemetery, separate from those who are less wicked. And Rashi quotes the Gemara of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Disnan b'Sanhedrin, Shtei kvoros hoyim mesukonim lebeisdin, Echad l'nerog l'nechnokin, ve'echad l'skon l'srofin. There was one section for people that were chayav, that were executed by the lesser form of execution for sword or strangulation, and a separate section for those that were either stoned or subject to sreifa, to burning. V'hochonami, afagav dahai lav mechayove based in who? Here, even though he's not guilty in terms of court execution, hoyol v'ova tarti kavrinu le gabi niskol nisrafim. Since he's in violation of two offenses, two major offenses that are punishable by kores, that makes him the equivalent of someone who would be executed by skilah sreifa, and is hence buried in that section of the cemetery where stoned individuals or burnt, executed people are buried. So we continue in the Gemara. V'chein ki also Ravin om Rabbi Yochanan. Ravin also explains Rabbi Yossi as saying, Ma le'ani olav ki'ilu also shnai ve'enu chayav elo achas. A person who, in our case, Shimon, who had relations with Leah, who had been married to Shimon's brother, he is in violation of Eishes Ach, as well as Shimon is in violation as well as Achos Isha. My nafgamina, what practical bearing does this have when at the same time we're saying he's only guilty of one offense, but yet it's considered as if two were committed? L'kovro bein rishoyim gemurim. The practical nafgamina is, as we saw in Rashi, based on the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, he would be buried upon his demise. He would be buried amongst the extreme wicked. U beplukta. That means this issue of iser halal iser, and the analysis that we just saw is in fact the subject of a machlokes between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kapora. Before we go further in the Gemara, my eye just quote a caught a comment in Tosfos that presents an approach that's different than that which Rashi explained. We look at the Tosfos. Let's look at it together at the bottom under the Gemara text. Dibor Masal Bein Rishoyim Gemurim. The explanation of Rava that he who is in our example before, Shimon had relations with Leah, and Rabbi Yossi spoke about being in violation of two offenses. Rava says, in actuality, because of Ein Iser, Halal Iser, Shimon is really in violation of one offense, the first offense. Why then does Rabbi Yossi speak about being in violation of two? The nafgamina in our Gemara was to be buried by Rishoyim Gemurim. So now, the Tosfos comments on that. Pirush, Eitzel Rishoyim Kamoso. Rishoyim Gemurim means people that are wicked like him. L'fisha'en koivim rosh Eitzel Tzadik. Because we know, as a tradition, that we don't bury the wicked next to the righteous. So, Tosfos explains the burial, Eitzel Rishoyim, is amongst those that are similar in their level of offense and their level of wickedness. Goes on to say, not like Rashi's explanation, the Kovro Eitzel Niskolov in Isrofim, to have him buried by those who were in actuality stoned or burnt. They are a separate category. For Reb Shimon Sovar, the Afalpi Shiesh Baveira Zu Shnei Isurim, Reb Shimon, who disagreed with Reb Yossi, says that even though in this Avera, in this offense, there are two elements of prohibition, Kevon de lo Mechayev Elo Chado, since in actuality he's considered guilty of only one offense, because of Ein Iser Chalal Iser, Ein Koivrin Oisoi Eitzel Rishoyim Gemurim. We won't have him buried amongst the totally wicked. So there is the difference between Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon as to where he is buried. But to say specifically, like Rashi said within Reb Yossi, that he would be buried amongst those who were stoned, that far we are not going. So now we said that this issue of do we look at him as having violated one offense, or as if he had violated two offenses, with the nafgamina of being where he would eventually be buried. So this is reflected in another machlokes, another controversy that which exists between Reb Chiya and Bar Kapora. It's important, though, for us to note that this itself, it's a very long discussion. We mentioned before that the general topic, Lassel Daf Lama Dalid, but now as we focus in on the machlokas between Bar Kapora and Rabbi Chiya, we're going to be involved with a very lengthy piece of Gemara. That will keep us busy, so to speak, until Daf Lamed Gimel Omid Beis. So the structure of the Gemara, though, ought to be noted before we proceed in the text. On the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading, you see a double underline with a dot underline as well. Ad Sof HaGemara Yofiu Gimel Isurim. the Gimel Yisurim are represented by Roman numerals 1 through 3, and that you can see running down the side of the Gemara text. There are three Yisurim Shehutru B'Mikdash. They have in common an element of Beis HaMikdash, where we say that these, the violations that we'll shortly be introduced to, are violations that are not considered prohibited in the Beis HaMikdash. Reb Chiya bar Kapora Chokim im Chayav Achas Oy Shtayim. They will be arguing whether, as a result of an additional factor being added, is there one offense or two offenses? B'chol echod mishosh mikrim, in each one of these three examples, mivne ha-gemora zeheh, the structure of the Gemara will be similar. A diamond will be used, havlotas hischil, where the word hischil appears, it is emphasized, and it makes the reading easier, where each one, Reb Chiya and Bar Kapora, start advancing their own positions. So far, things are a bit vague because we don't know what the three cases concerning which Reb Chiya and Bar Kapora argue. So now, let's go into the Gemara. The Itmar. Zar Shishimesh B'Shabbos. A Zar is a non-Kohen. A non-Kohen is prohibited from doing Beis HaMikdash activity. We're speaking in general terms without getting into the many details involved, but in general terms, sacrificial activity is not to be done by a Zar, a non-Kohen. Sacrificial activity is something that is allowed to be done with regard to specific sacrifices on Shabbos. So a Zar comes into the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos and engages in sacrificial activity. Zar Shishimesh B'Shabbos. Reb Chiya Omar Chayav Shtayim. There are two offenses. Bar Kapora Omer Ein Chayav Elo Achas. And Bar Kapora claims he's guilty of only one offense. Kofatz Reb Chiya V'Nishba. Ho avoda. Avoda is an expression. Here it's a little confusing, but it's a lashon of oath. He says, I swear. Kach shomati me Rebbe Shtayim. I heard from our master, from Rebbe, Rebbe Yudah Nasi. He taught us that a zar shishimesh b'shabbos, he's guilty of two offenses. Kofatz bar kapora v'nishba. Bar Kapora jumped forth and said, Ho avoda, I swear, kach shamati mi Rebbe, achas, that the Zar Shishimesh B'Shabbos is guilty of only one offense. Still, we haven't defined what the offenses are. We are certainly getting a feeling that we're talking about a person who shouldn't be doing Beis HaMikdash activity, and then we also are getting a sense of some element of Melocha B'Shabbos. Locha B'Shabbos, Shabbos activities, there are 39 prohibited activities on Shabbos. Amongst the different prohibited activities are things like burning things on the Mizbeach, or burning things in a fire. I shouldn't say the Mizbeach, because in the Mizbeach you're allowed to burn sacrifices. However, what happens if someone who shouldn't be doing it does it on Shabbos? Are there two offenses? Is there the offense of Zarus and the offense of Shabbos, or do we say only one offense exists? So now the Gemara presents each one's position. Hischil Rabbi Chiya Lodun. Rabbi Chiya starts his analysis. Shabbos l'kol ne'esra. Shabbos is a day that malachas are prohibited to all. Kishehutra b'mikdash. Eitzel Kayanim Hutra. When we say that Molochus are Mutter on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, they are Mutter if done by the proper people, if they're done by Kayhanim. The Kayanim Hutra, Veloy Lazarim. The heter of these Molochus was granted to the Kohanim and not to the Zorim, not to the non-Kohanim. Therefore, if a non-Kohen does Shabbos violation-type activities in the context of sacrificial offering on Shabbos, yesh kan mishum zorus v'yesh kan mishum Shabbos. There are two elements of offense. There is the zarus element, and there is the Shabbos element. Hischil bar kapora lodun. Bar Kapora, who took the position that a zar sheshimesh b'Shabbos is considered in violation only of one offense, explains his position. Shabbos l'kol nesra. Shabbos is a day for concerning whom all malachas are prohibited. Kishehutra, when a heter exists. Regarding you're allowed to do Shabbos violations. The Mikdash Hutra, the element of Heter, was stated vis-a-vis the Beis HaMikdash. So that in the Beis HaMikdash, Bar Kapora says, Shabbos Malachas are not prohibited. Of course, within the realm of sacrificial activity, but and to make the analysis easier to present, we're saying that when Shabbos was released from prohibition, it was so in the Beis HaMikdash, in an unqualified fashion. Therefore, to say that by burning on the Mizbeach sacrificial parts, is a Shabbos violation, that's not so, because in the Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos was suspended. Therefore, if a Zar does this on Shabbos, ein kan ela zorus, the only problem would be the fact that he is a non-Kohen. So Rashi, that we, very brief Rashi, the lower part of the page where we have a star, kishehutra, the Mikdash Hutra Stam. Shabbos was suspended in the Beis HaMikdash across the boards. So as far as if you see a molocha, like burning something on Shabbos, taking place in the Beis HaMikdash, with regard to Shabbos, molochas were suspended. Hilkoch ein kan elo mishum zaras. The only problem is the fact that the person doing it is not the right person to do it. And that's the problem of zaras. Let's continue. Balmum shishimesh betuma, a blemished Kohen who offers a public sacrifice, that's a korban tzibur, while he is in a state of defilement. Before we go into the Gemara, just a general note, and that is that when it comes to public sacrifices, even though in other areas of korbanos, of sacrifices, defilement is anathema to sacrifices, when it comes to public sacrifices and they're being offered, we say the korban tzibur is doicha, supersedes the rules of tumah. Now, let's get back to our case. A balmum, a blemished kohen that serves in the Beis HaMikdash in a state of defilement. Rabbi Chiya Omer Chayav Shtayim. Bar Kapor Omer Ein Chayav Elo Achas. Kofatz Rabbi Chiya V'Nishba Ho Avoido Kach Shemati Mi Rabbi Shtayim. Kofatz Bar Kapor V'Nishba Ho Avoido Kach Shemati Mi Rabbi Achas. Hischil Rabbi Chiya Lodun. Now Rabbi Chiya, as we see, the very same structure as before, Rabbi Chiya starts to analyze. Tumo Lakol Nesra. Tuma, defilement, is a prohibition with regard to all sacrificial matters. Kishehutra b'mikdash, when we find a suspension of the rules of Tuma in the Beis HaMikdash, again, in the context, though, of a public sacrifice, Eitzel Kohanim Tamimim Hutra, the suspension of the laws of defilement was specified with regard to the unblemished Kohanim. So, with regard to unblemished Kohanim, the rules or restrictions of defilement in the context of public sacrifices was suspended. That suspension of Dinei Tumah was stated only with regard to unblemished Kohanim, not with regard to the blemished ones, the Baal Mum. Therefore, a Baal Mum who is Tomei, who offers a public sacrifice, Yesh Kan Mishum Baal Mumin, V'yesh Kan Mishum Tumah. You have both offenses violated when a Baal Mum who is Tomei offers a public sacrifice. Hisu Bar Kapora Lodun Tumo Lakol Nesra. Bar Kapora said that a Baal Mum who's Tomei, who offers a public sacrifice, is guilty only of one offense. So his analysis is as follows. Tumo Lakol Nesra. Tumo was stated as a general restriction with regard to sacrificial activity. Kishahutra, when the laws of Tumo were suspended. But Mikdash Hutra, they were suspended in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, if a Baal Mum serves Betuma, Ein Kan Ela Mishum Baal Mum. The only problem is the fact that he's blemished. The fact that he's Tomei is not a problem, because it's within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, where we know that with regard to public sacrifices, the laws of Tumah were suspended. So that Bar Kapora's analysis, as we saw beforehand, when we speak about the suspension of rules, he looks at it in a very general suspension, as opposed to Reb Chiya, who looked at it as a specific suspension. The third case of machlokes, Zar Shochal Malika. Zar, we are quite familiar with that expression from the first halacha, the Roman numeral number one. The non-Kohen. Ochal Malika. What's Malika? Malika is the method of sacrifice, the unusual, the special method of slaughter of a bird offering. With that, we don't have to dwell on the details of the how it's done. Just briefly, the Kohen has a very long fingernail, and he cuts the neck of the bird offering by inserting his thumbnail to the back of the bird's neck, and thereby severing the necessary organs representing its form of slaughter. Very unusual, as opposed to the standard knife slaughter that is associated with animal offerings, not so with the case of bird offerings. Now, outside the Beis HaMikdash, if someone were to slaughter a bird like that, that is a nevela. He's created a nevela. A nevela is an animal that did not receive a proper slaughtering, and it's forbidden to eat it. Within the Beis HaMikdash, there are two kinds of bird offerings. One's an oila, one's a chatas. An oila is completely burnt on the mizbeach. A chatas is a bird offering that... That type of sacrifice is eaten by the Kohanim. And that's the mitzvah, that's the way it's done. Now you might say if you were to do the same thing outside the Beis HaMikdash, you'd be considered eating the vela. That's true. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that is the only way to process and subsequently eat a bird offering, a korban chatos. This Roman numeral number 3, this case involves a non-Kohen who eats Malika. Chatos, which is a sin offering, a bird sin offering, is eaten only by male Kohanim, not by Zorim. Well, Azar went ahead and ate Malika. Reb Chiya Omer Chayav, Shtayim Bar Kamor Omer Ein Chayav Elo Achas. Kofatz Reb Chiya V'nishba Ho Avoido Kach Shemati Me Rebbe. Shtayim. Kofatz Bar Kapor V'nishba Ho Avoido Kach Shemati Me Rebbe. Achas. Hischa Reb Chiya Lodun. Reb Chiya to advance his position of two offenses. Nevela Lakol Nesra. A nevela is an animal or bird that did not receive a proper slaughtering, is forbidden to all. Kishehutra b'mikdash, when the phenomenon of nevela was suspended within the Beis HaMikdash, Eitzel Kehanim Hutra, it was suspended with regard to Kehanim and their heter, their permission of eating a Chatos Ha'oif. L'Kehanim Hutra V'lo L'Zorim, the heter extends only to the Kehanim. It's a limited suspension, as we said before. It's a suspension only with regard to Kehanim, not with regard to Zorim. Therefore, if a Zar eats Malika, Yesh Kan Mishum Zorus, first of all, you have a non-Kohen who is eating this, the Yesh Kan Mishum Malika, and you also have the problem of it being a Nevela. Hisu Bar Kapora Lodun, Bar Kapora, who said there's only one offense violated by the Zar Shocha Malika, explains Nevela L'Kol Nesra. Nevela is something prohibited to all Kishur Hutra, but Mikdash Hutra, when it was suspended, the Nevela as a problem with regard to birds was suspended in the Beis HaMikdash. So what happened? A non-Kohen ate Malika, and Kanelo Mishum Zoros. The only problem here is the fact that he is not the right person to eat it. However, as far as the item, the Chetza, is concerned, the Chetza is fine because its only potential problem, the Vela, was suspended in the Beis HaMikdash. At this point, we presented a Machlokas Reb Chiya and Bar Kapora regarding three different cases, where in each one, Reb Chiya takes the position that Rebbe had taught there would be two offenses, and Bar Kapora had taught there would be one offense. This sugya continues, and it continues so to such an extent that if we were to proceed further, we would end up having to cover more than the Daf Yomi schedule of learning would find acceptable. Therefore, out of, let's say, forced circumstances, we have to pause here, in literally in the middle of a discussion. Mitzvah Shem, next time, the Gemara at the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph will be picking up with an in-depth analysis of what's the underlying point of difference between Reb Chiya and Bar Kapora. In other words, what drives Reb Chiya to say that there would be two offenses and Bar Kapora saying only one? So Mitzvah Shem, next time, we'll pick up regarding the Machlokis Reb Chiya and Bar Kapora and the analysis. Before we close, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.